I'm Marissa Norcross.
And I'm Dave Freund, and this is The Next Page. Marissa, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I have a cold. It's one of the... I bet you if we go back through our 100, and this is the 125th episode, I'm probably sick 15 to 20% of the time with a cold. Maybe not. Maybe that's exaggerating, but...
It's that time of year.
It is. So I'm just, you know... Again, we need to have this sponsored by Airborne Gummies, but I've been eating them like candy again. But I probably didn't eat them consistently enough, and that's my problem.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a special episode of The Next Page. And the title of my post that came out this morning was The Forgotten. And this is really, it's Veterans Day coming up. And I don't think we think enough about it. And so I just want to share, a book was recommended to me by Engineer Tim. Because I said, I need a book. I had to do some traveling. What book should I take? And he said, you need to listen to Devotion by Adam Makos. And I said, what's it about? It's about the Korean War. I said, okay, fine. So I got the book. It was one of those books that, if you're listening to it, you can't stop. If you're reading it, you can't put it down. And basically, this book talks about a 17-day battle that happened at the Chosin Reservoir in North Korea, and it's almost hard to put into words what really happened. But at the Chosin Reservoir, you've got about 30,000 UN troops. In and around the Chosin Reservoir. You have 120,000 Chinese troops that are surrounding them. And they have to find a way to fight their way back to the coast so they can be rescued. And the book really talks about I have the book sitting in front of me. And I encourage everybody, get this book. Get it from the library. Listen to it. The subtitle is An Epic Story of Heroism, Friendship, and Sacrifice. And I know I'm a person that, you know, hey, I can cry at a good Hallmark commercial, but I spent, it's about 14 hours to listen to the book. And I was so impacted by the book that I bought the book, I bought a hard copy of the book. More than once I had tears running down my cheeks because of the depth of feeling that's in this book. So the first Black Navy fighter pilot, Jesse Brown, is son of a sharecropper, and he is teamed up with a country club owners or country club type of son of a country club member in New England, who's also a Navy pilot, and the two of them become part of Fighter Squadron 32 that's based on the USS Leidy, and they're flying Corsairs. They're flying F-4U Corsairs. And an interesting friendship, a bond is formed between these two guys. And so what the Corsairs had to do is they had to go in and try to give some air defense so that the troops could work their way back from the Chosin Reservoir to the eastern coast of North Korea. And so they're going in, they're trying to find Chinese encampments and things. And the Chinese were wearing, imagine, so this is winter. It started, I believe, late November and ends in December. At night, it's 30 degrees below zero. And it talks not just about the two flyers, but it talks about different companies, different Marine companies and Army companies, Army battalions. But at one point, they're flying one of these recon missions, and Jesse's plane gets hit in the oil tank with some anti-aircraft fire, and he has to crash land. So he crash lands in like a meadow, a field in between some woods on the hillside of a mountain, on the side of a mountain. And so his wingman, Tom Hudner, is circling around, and he sees that Jesse opens the canopy, but he doesn't get out of the plane. So he decides, I have to crash land because my buddy can't get out of his plane. He's trapped. So Hudner crashes his plane and goes over and can't pull Jesse out of the plane because the nose of the plane is bent at about 30 degrees So they radio to a helicopter that was coming to pick him up, that, by the way, is a 40-minute flight in enemy territory, you know, and the helicopter's doesn't have much defense against enemy fire, to go back, get a hatchet, and come back so we can literally chop the plane apart to get Jesse Brown out. Well, they couldn't get him out. He's still pinned. And at one point, Tom Hudner is told by the helicopter pilot, who I think was Charlie Ward, you know, Tom, you need to come, because if you stay with Jesse tonight, you'll freeze to death. We need, you know, we can come back with some other devices, torches and things, but you have to come. So reluctantly, he turns to his buddy Jesse and says, Jesse, I'll be back. But we don't have enough tools. And he gets in the helicopter and he leaves. And it just, I can't fathom the agony in this guy's mind and heart when he's, you know, having to leave his buddy in the plane, knowing full well that they're not going to be able to make it back that night. And so the whole book talks about this battle. It talks about how many people were died and those type of things. It talks about the way the staff, the crew on the USS Laity reacted to it. Hudner ends up getting the highest honor that could ever be awarded to any human being, the Medal of Honor. And he can't understand why he's getting it. You know, through all of the accounts, the news accounts, and this is absolutely a true story. It is not a make-believe story. It's not a novel, a thriller. It happened. And through the whole thing, he's trying to tell people, I'm not a hero. I didn't do anything special. But in reality, what hit me about this is, we're talking about Veterans Day. In just that battle, 4,300 Marines died, 3,100 U.S. Army died, 2,800 South Koreans attached to the U.S. forces died, and 78 British Royal Marines died in just the Battle of the Chosin Reservoir. And every one of those casualties had a family. And in the book, it talks about Jesse Brown's widow, Daisy, and their daughter, I think, Pam, you know, and how, what's it like when that telegram comes? Because the author, Adam Makos, interviewed tons and tons of people to get this out, and looked at all of the news reports. And the book has photographs of this, of, you know, the troops. And actually, one of the photographs is looking, it's inside the aircraft carrier when the crew is told that Jesse's plane is down. And there's so much emotion in this, and it's forgotten. We don't remember. You even said before we started recording, you don't remember the Korean War. You don't know much about it.
Mm-mm.
We think of MASH. That's the Korean War.
Yep.
You know, it was a 3-year war that was never called a war. It was a conflict. You know, 40,000 Americans died in those 3 years. But do we understand why they did it? And really why they did it? Some say, the author says in the book, that this was really, the fear was that this was World War III. Because following World War II, you had Stalin and you had, and I forgot the Chinese leader, I should have looked it up, for Communist China, that formed an alliance, and it basically, the war would have been, or was, communism versus democracy. And that was the battle that was fought. And you know, the democracy, you know, we say it today, so we take the battle to the terrorists so that they don't fight on our soil. It's the same thing. These 40,000 Americans died so that we can have the freedoms that we have. But I think we take it for granted too often. And I think you mentioned that probably your grandfathers would have been Korean War
mm-hmm.
vintage people. And that's probably right, because my dad was. Now, my dad was not able to serve in the Korean War for medical reasons. But I had, you know, I had an uncle who never left the States, but that was the time when he would have been drafted. And I don't think we can imagine, you know, your husband getting a letter and saying you're being drafted into the army. And he has to leave.
I can't imagine.
Right. Yeah. None of us can. I mean, I got to taste a little bit of that. So I would have been, I'm younger than Vietnam. My brother was toward the tail end of the Vietnam War. He got his lottery number. So what they did was there was a lottery when the draft was in place. And depending on the number that got called, those are the ones that had to go. And he just missed the number by, I don't know how many digits, but he came really close to going to Vietnam. But for me, I turned 18 in 1979. There was no draft. In 1980, the Soviets moved into Afghanistan, and or it might have been 79, 80 time frame. Anyways, all of a sudden they decided to set up the registration for a draft. And I had to go to the post office and register, and all of a sudden it hit me. You know, my generation, or my part of my generation, would have been the first generation to not have to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden it came up that you might, you know, I really thought I was going to Afghanistan to fight. People got these letters, and families got telegrams. In the book, it talks about Jesse's wife, Daisy, reading the telegram from the Navy saying that, you know, we regret to inform you that your husband, Ensign Jesse L. Brown, was killed in action. Can't fathom that. You know, how his mother died of literally a broken heart. She had a coronary 3 months after the news. His father fell into a deep depression. So we had these people doing all of these things for us, and we forget it. We view Veterans Day as another day for a sale, perhaps a day off from school or work. You know, the banks are closed, and that annoys us, when we're realizing people suffered and paid the ultimate sacrifice for people that they would never know. So I shared this with you that really got me upset as I read the book. So Jesse Brown and so the Squadron 32 from the USS Leidy, the Leidy had docked in San Diego before going to Korea. And all the flyers went into a bar at a hotel. And Jesse walked in with his flight commander, and they wouldn't serve him a drink because he was black. So he's okay to go die for you, but you can't serve him a drink. What was even worse to me than that was that when Tom Hudner was given the Medal of Honor, I think I got the right medal there, Daisy, Jesse's widow, is invited. She was invited to come to the ceremony at the White House. So she really didn't know how could she go, but she said, you know what, I need to go. I need to represent Jesse. So she goes as the man who tried to rescue her husband is being honored by President Truman. She couldn't stay in a hotel because they wouldn't let blacks stay in a hotel in Washington, D.C. in 1950. I can't fathom that. You know, here she gave up her whole future, and we don't even give her a place to sleep. But that's the country we lived in, and these people still paid that ultimate sacrifice so that we could have freedom. And I guess that's the point. And I didn't mean this to be a monologue. But when I read this book, I was really moved and realized I don't appreciate those that served our country and fought and died enough. And I've always asked this question: if a time of sacrifice like that ever came again, would we be willing to do it? Would there be those willing to do it? And I think, I'm sure there would be, you know, because we do live in the greatest country on earth, but sometimes we forget and we squabble over stupid things. We get angry over stupid things. Back then, there were no, you know, the stupid things kind of went away, and people realized, oh my goodness, this is awful. So any thoughts that you had? I know I didn't mean this to be a monologue, but it kind of is.
It's you know, it's something that I have not spent enough time thinking about. And yeah. I think these stories, you know, this is just one account.
Exactly.
And you can, and there's people, many of us probably know families that are military families and understand just things that have happened to people that we know, whether yes. it be an injury or a death as a result of what's going on right now. And
right.
And that's, I think, the hardest part to wrap my head around is that, you know, that this isn't an isolated thing. This story
right.
can be told by many people. And right. we don't pay enough attention to this. And I think it's really important that we remind our children of,
yes.
of what others have sacrificed. And I think as generations continue on, like, we forget more and more. I had never lived during a time where there was a draft.
Right.
And so without being reminded in these ways, it would be easy for me to forget some of these facts in our history. So this week, I would just encourage everyone to remind their families of why we have Veterans Day, what it means. And like you said, it's not just a day for a sal or a day off from work or a day off from right. school. It's really something much larger than that.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better. Now, to close my post, one of the last things that Tom Hudner said to Jesse Brown was, "I'll be back."
Mm-hmm.
And when he got back to the Laity, which probably took a couple days because they went into he was in a tent one night in a base camp before. Maybe it was within 24 hours, but it wasn't immediately that he got back to the Laity. And the captain of the Laity said, "You know, okay, now I've got a squadron ready to go get Jesse." And Hudner had to say to him, "You know, Captain, there's no way he's alive anymore. And it would be a great risk to go get him." But they wanted to at least, you know, the thought was, well, what about his remains kind of thing? So they did go out and they sent a squadron to go napalm the two planes. So basically burn the planes so that the enemies couldn't get it. And they called it kind of, they referred to it as a warrior's funeral for Jesse. But there still would have been some remains even after that. And I think it was in 2015, Tom Hudner, now 80-some years old, keeps his promise to Jesse Brown and goes back to North Korea with, you know, crazy North Korean dictator and all, goes back to meet with the North Koreans with a request that he be allowed to go find the site where the planes crashed to potentially remove the remains of Jesse Brown. You know, so this man, 69 years later, it would have been 65 then, 65 years later, still has this burden to honor a promise he made to a man that he knew for a very short period of time. So he got to North Korea. And there's actually, if you do just some YouTube searches on Tom Hudner, Jesse L. Brown, you know, black fighter pilot, it'll all come up. The author of the book Devotion goes with him to North Korea, and they just were not able to locate the spot. And then the author also said, you know, because of everything that transpired, how poor North Korea is, probably everything in that plane would have been scavenged. But, you know, for the metal that was there and everything for years. But at least Tom Hudner had to go try to honor his request. So that was the other thing, this devotion and friendship, you know, and the faithfulness to each other is such a, it's, while it's a gut-wrenching, heartbreaking book to read, it's refreshing to know how good people can be to each other when all the nonsense is removed, when it doesn't matter what color you are or what political party you're part of, you know, but you're an American. And you know, you're fighting for this cause that is greater than the human being, so to speak, in their eyes. There was a reason they were there. And the interesting thing, there's one other heartbreaking point. So when the troops have finally made their way back to the coast of the eastern coast of Korea, and they're looking out at the laity, there were two North Korean boys. Now imagine, this is winter, climbing up the anchor chain of an American aircraft carrier to try to get to freedom. To me, that says it all.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't appreciate what we got. So, at least as much as we should. So that's all I got.
Something really to think about as we...
Absolutely. And I love the way you put it. Yeah. So the encouragement for everybody is, you know, next week when we get into Veterans Day, just take a moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're a person of faith, say a prayer of thanks and pray for those that lost loved ones and are still losing loved ones. You know, and just be kind to people.
Mm-hmm.
And realize that the things that divide us are minuscule compared to the things that really unite us as Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Any closing words?
I think that's it.
That's it. So with that, I'm Dave Freund.
I'm Marissa Norcross.
And this was The Next Page.